Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute. And we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Amos 4:6 says, "And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places, and yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there was yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to be a rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon and a piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet ye have not yet returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased and palmer worm devoured them. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of burning. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me this morning? Father God, I come before your throne today, dear Lord. I seek your divine unction. I seek your anointing, your Holy Spirit, dear God, to touch my heart, my soul, my mind, and my tongue. Allow me, dear God, to bring forth this word today in a way that would magnify you, that would uplift you, that would glorify your name, dear God, and that it would be obedient to your leading. Help me, dear God, to follow that which you would have me follow, and lead me, dear God, into saying the things that you would have me to say. Bless me, O God, that I might be your vessel today through which your word does flow. And let your word go out today, dear God, from my mouth, and let it go out, dear God, to this congregation and all those under the sound of my voice through radio and ministry and TV and live stream. Dear God, let your will be accomplished upon this word today. In the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus, we thank you and pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, you might have noticed from the passage that I was reading that God was letting folks know, letting Israel know, I have pulled up things and let the enemy come at you. A whole lot of times people say, well, God brings this on me. Why did God bring that on me? Why did God do this to me? I got something to tell you. God does not bring evil upon the people. God is the bringer of good things. Sometimes you'll go through times when nothing can touch you. And you know why that is? That's because God's got his hand over you, covering you, protecting you from those things. And sometimes when God's trying to get across to us and we're not paying attention, he'll just lift his hand up. Let those things get there. You know, there's a saying that says you can't live on the mountaintop. Because if you lived on the mountaintop, you wouldn't know how good God is when you would. Because if you go, when you're going through the valleys, that's when you know you need God. When you're going through those difficult times, that's when you know you need to turn to God. That's why you don't live on the mountaintop all the time. Because if you did, you would pretend and you'd start thinking in your mind, I don't need God. The prophet Amos was speaking to the children of Israel in the passage that we read, because they had done something they have done numbers of times before. Again and again and again, the children of Israel had turned from God. They didn't need him anymore. They had found other false gods. They found other gods with the people that they were coming into contact with, and they were worshiping false gods again. And God said, you know what? I'm just going to take my hand up off of you for a little while and let you suffer some things that I have been protecting you from, so you'll realize just who I am to you. You know, think about this now. Israel, God's chosen people. Out of all the people on the earth, God chose Israel, said, you will be my people and I will be your God. They are the ones that he held in his hands. They're the ones that he called his chosen people. Israel. They were higher than any other people. They were select. They were held in higher regard than anybody else. Higher than any other people. When you look at the Ten Commandments, the first three Ten Commandments are about Israel and God. They're all about, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any other graven image. You know, the first three commandments are saying, you know, I'm your God. Worship me. I want your worship. I love you. I'm caring for you. I want you to love me. That's the first three. And they were all basically about that one thing. He alone is God. He wants to be first in our hearts. Amen? Can you say loyalty?
Loyalty.
Can you say loyalty?
Loyalty.
God wants you to be loyal to him. But the children of Israel, one more time, had allowed social pressure to force them to not believe in him. They were worshiping other gods. What do you mean social pressure, Brother Matt? The other people they were hanging around with, the other tribes of people they were hanging around with, they had other gods that they served. And Israel, they wanted to be friends. You know, you meet new people, you want to be friends. And when you want to be friends, if those people don't believe in your God, you don't talk about your God, do you? Come on now. You don't feel the family pressure when you go sit with family that don't believe in God. You don't feel the family pressure that don't want you to talk about God. You don't feel that. I do. You don't feel the pressure when you're going out with your friends and you start talking about God and they change the subject just as fast and hard as they can. I used to play with a heavy metal rock and roll band, and I got saved, and I left that music, and God gave me a song, and I wrote a song about getting saved. And I just happened to be riding by the place one night where we used to practice. It's a couple of years later, and I saw a bunch of cars out there, and I felt impressed of God to go into that place, and because God had he impressed me to go in there. And I said, God, I don't want to go in there. There's all manner of evil and wickedness going on in there. I don't want to go in there. I got about 3 miles down the road, and God said, I told you to go in there. So I turned around and I drove back. I walked in the door, and they celebrated when I walked in the door. And the lead singer stepped up and said, look at this. Taylor shows up on the very last night that we're going to be a band. Where'd that come from? How did that happen? This is the last time we're ever going to play together. And I was like, wow. started playing. They started playing a song. And they got through playing, and when they started playing that song, at the end of that song, they took a break. And when they took a break, it got quiet, and there was nothing going on. So I picked up a guitar, and I started playing that one song God had given me about getting saved. And they loved it as long as I was playing the guitar and getting right up to that one point. But when I got to the point where they knew what it was, the sound man reached over and flipped up the music and turned it up and drowned me out. Your friends, your unsaved friends, your unsaved family, they don't want to hear you talking about God. So what do most of us do? We clam up. Amen? But God does not want it to be that way. The children of Israel, they had started hanging out with people that didn't believe in God, and they were getting the pressure to believe in false gods, and they did it. They started doing it. And when they started doing it, they started forgetting about their own God. And God said, I ain't having it. And God started lifting his hand of protection off of Israel. All these wicked things started happening. They started going through drought. They started having pestilences. They started having famine. They started being killed and dying. And they were getting ready to suffer. They were headed towards possible complete and utter destruction. And God started speaking to them through the prophet. He said, I've done all these things. I've done everything I could to get your attention. I've done everything I could to wake you up and let you realize without me, you're going to die. And you still won't turn to me. Does that sound like any place you know of? Can you read the newspaper? Can you look at social media and see what's going on in the world? Does that not make you think about what was going on in the children of Israel during this time when Amos wrote these things? This country was founded on the Word of God. It was founded on Christian belief. We came here because we couldn't serve and worship God the way we wanted to over in England. So we came here and started serving God. And we founded this country on the Word of God and on His belief. But now, 240 some odd years later, we are at the point where it's uncomfortable to be a Christian. It's uncomfortable to serve God. And for there's a bunch of people out here now, saints, that know all about the Word of God, that know how to live right, that have done that before, but they have fallen away because they fell into that pressure. And they know about God. They know truly about God. But they turned away from Him. You know what these people look like. He said, if this is Jesus, that God told them in the book of Amos, at the very last scripture I read, He said, all right, if this is what you want, you get ready to meet me. And He wasn't talking about him going to come down and shake your hand. You know, when somebody points a gun at your head, they say, get ready to meet your maker. God was saying, you want to live this way, get ready to meet me. You get ready to find out who I am. But we live in a time where all these believers, these used to be believers, have fallen away from God. Amos said in Amos 5 and 4, he said, for thus saith the Lord God unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. Huh. But seek not Bethel or nor enter into Gilgal and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into the captivity and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord and ye shall live. Lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. He said, seek God and you shall live. Let me say that one more time. Seek God and you shall live. You know what? Say that with me. Seek God. Seek God. And you shall live. Let's do it one more time. Seek God and you shall live. Now, don't that make sense? And everybody that says that, don't you know they should believe by now? Seek God and His righteousness. The Word of God says, seek me first. And my righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Over the past few months, I've noticed something. There's been a larger than usual attack of people that are getting sick by the C word. Coming under attack, their health being destroyed, their families being destroyed, their finances being destroyed, their happiness absolutely decimated and drained. You know what I can get you from that, saints of God? You know what the Lord has been prompting and pricking my heart about that? Sometimes we go through hard times because God is trying to get through to us like he was trying to get through to the children of Israel in the book of Amos. We're going through those times because God said, hey, wait a minute, here. See what it's like without me for a minute. And then he's trying to say, wake up and come back to me. You know, it's the only thing sometimes that we'll pay attention to. Amen? You've seen those folks. I know people. I've seen people who know about God, but things are going so good for them, they think, well, I don't really need God. Everything's going fine. I'm living on the mountaintop. I ain't living in the valley. I don't need God. Amen? But you let something terrible start coming their way. Amen? These same people, they're going to come running, begging, and pleading with God. They'll become the most holy people you ever met in your life all the way up until the time when God meets their need. And I have watched it time and time and time again. People come to the house, Pastor, please pray for our family. Pastor, please pray for me. Pastor, please pray for us. And they're at the door. They're in the church every time the door's open. They're the first ones in the door and the last ones to leave. They're in the altar every service. But just as soon, just the minute that God meets their need, they disappear until the next time something terrible comes their way, until the very next turmoil. Then they forget all about God till they need him again. And sometimes God will get tired of that. Sometimes God will get tired of that, and he'll just lift up his hand and let it all roll. Just like he did with the children of Israel, he said, all right, you want to live that way? See what it's like without me. Get ready to meet me. He allows the enemy sometimes when he's got a special calling. If there's a special calling on somebody's life and they're called to serve God and they're called to go into the ministry of some kind of ministry and they refuse to even serve God, he will let it roll. He will say, look, I got to get you where you need to be. I know one friend. He was called of God to minister. He was called of God to preach, but he didn't want to preach. He wanted to sing. And he would not preach, but he would sing. He could sing like gold. He had a golden set of pipes. And he would sing, and he wouldn't preach, and God was calling him to preach, and he knew it, and I knew it, and everybody else knew it, but he refused it, and all of a sudden, this young man lost his faith. He got addicted to drugs. Lost his wife, lost his child, and his addiction took him so far, so deep, that he started robbing liquor stores and robbing drug stores and ended up in prison. And he stayed addicted, and he got out, and God gave him another chance. And he was told. God said, tell you, you need to answer that call. And, oh yes, I'll do it. Because I was one of the ones that went and told him. God said, if you answer the call, he's going to deliver you. Yes, sir, Brother Mac, I'll do it. And within 3 weeks, he's back in prison. Next time he gets out, I go to him, I say, look, God still wants you. He still's calling you out. He's still calling you to do what he wants you to do. Oh, yes, sir, Brother Mac, I'm ready to do it now. And right back in prison. Because he refuses to answer the call of God. He refuses to serve God. When God sees somebody has a special calling, he allows the enemy to bring complete and total havoc into their lives. And so that they'll pay attention to his call. And this happens for them time and time and time again. And they get holy for a few weeks, and then God answers their prayer, and then they forget all about him again over and over and over. Is that not a terrible fate? Is that not a terrible way to treat the one who gave you life? I'm going to tell you something. God would not have to knock me over the head. God would not have to drill me into the ground like that. As a matter of fact, when I first heard the call of God, I told him, I said, you don't want me. And I started telling him about that friend I just told you about. I said, y'all want him. God, you want him? He said, yeah, I've been talking to him. He ain't having any. Now I'm talking to you. And I said, well, Lord, I don't want to do it. I don't believe I'm any good at it. I don't believe I can do it. But if you tell me I can, if you tell me that's what you want, that's what I'm going to do. And I've been doing it now for 39 years. Whether I'm, and some of y'all suffer through it. And just like this message today, it ain't one that everybody wants to shout and jump and be happy about. Bless you, Mason. These folks, they continue to walk away from God. They continue. They get their answer of prayer. Then I'm going to talk about the instantaneous answer of prayer. And then they get mad at God and turn away. I don't need you no more now. I got one more. You got friends like that, right? You don't hear from them. You don't see them till they need something. And when they need something, oh, I missed you so much. And just as soon as they get what they want from you, you can't find them. They won't answer your phone. I got a friend like that right now. He blows my phone up needing something. I mean, when he's needing something, and if I call him during that time, boy, the first ring picks it up. But just as soon as I give him what he wants, I go 3 or 4 months and can't get him on the phone, can't get him to answer a text, can't get him to answer a Facebook. He's disappeared. I don't know where he's at till he needs something again. Is that who you want to be? If you're watching this live stream, if you're listening to this radio broadcast, is that who you want to be with God? The Lord is calling you, and I'm telling you, there are people who are watching, people who are listening, whether they're in the house or on live stream or on radio or on TV, God's called them. They're not answering. And the longer they don't answer, the worse things will get. Because God has lifted his hand. He's trying to get you to wake up and answer the call. Those folks, they will come to God and just yield over to him until they get what they want. Over and over and over again until God sees the only way that he'll reach them is to let calamity fall and continue to fall. And all along the way, giving hope. I'm talking about all along the way when he's lifted his hand. They'll pray about this one thing and God will touch it. And just as soon as he does, they forget about him. But there's another thing already on the doorstep coming out of him. And they'll pray and pray again and the Lord will touch it. And then they'll just forget about him again. And another thing is on the doorstep. 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 Over and over and over again. And they continue to turn from God. All along the way, he's given hope. Trying harder and harder still to reach his anointed until either they choose to give themselves completely to God or they seal their eternal fate in hell. Brother Mac, what are you talking about? You know, you can come to the altar and repent all you want to. But if you are called of God into a calling and you don't do it, my Bible tells me the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You cannot ask forgiveness for not doing what God calls you to do. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. There is no serving God if you don't obey him. If you don't obey God, that's sin. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? My most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I ask your touch today, dear God, upon all those under the sound of my voice. Touch those, dear God, in their heart and their souls. Lead them, dear God, in the path of righteousness. Lead them to follow after you with a whole heart, giving all of themselves to you and not just the parts they want to give up. Hallelujah. Draw them unto you, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, touch every heart and every mind that's hearing my voice today, dear God. Pour out of your divine conviction upon their hearts, dear God. Set them, their feet upon the righteous path that follows you, that follows the leading and the anointing of God upon their lives. Drawn to a place, dear God, of repentance. A place of acceptance of the call you've placed upon their heart and lives. Touch them, dear God, and let them come follow after you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's one already in the altar this morning, two already in the altar. If God is pricking your heart, this is not the time to say, I'll pray another day. If God is pricking your heart about this message today, you do not want to wait until he lifts his hand of covering off of you. If God is calling you to this altar today, you need to move now. Those who are watching by live stream, those who are listening by radio, if God is calling you, and time again, he's blessed you and covered you, it's time for you to completely yield yourself unto him, to belong to him. It's time for you to say, God, I belong to you. I'm yours. Whatever you lead me to do, I will do. Whatever you lead me to be, I will be, dear God. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask your touch to be upon these today, dear God, that have come to this altar. And those, dear God, who have yet to move. I ask, Father, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit's conviction heavily upon their hearts. Show them, dear God, the righteousness. Show them, dear God, the way that you would have them go. Put it in their hearts and minds, dear God, such that they cannot turn from it. They cannot walk away from it. They can't get away from it. And it's constantly there. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm begging you. Do everything you can, dear God, to grip their hearts and pull them to a place where they won't miss heaven. That they will come to you, dear God, and seek to follow your will and follow your leading and to repent of their disobedience. Have your way, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Have your way upon them, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. We've got one more prayer to pray, saints. If everybody will show me that right hand, repeat after me. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sin. You were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, a Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m., or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.